Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
We have looked at a number of things about worship as we have explored both the Old and New Testament Scripture alike. To bring us to a lesson that we looked at last week about worship that is ideal to God. And today what I want us to do, in fact for the next 5 weeks, is to identify what it is that God looks at in regard to true New Testament worship. What are the avenues that God commands His people to do whenever we come together as His people in order to worship Him? As we look at our first lesson, I want us to understand that God commands us to worship Him in song. God commands His church to sing, and good people, in this we understand, as is taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Good people, in all of this, we need to understand that God does indeed command us, God wants us, and God is deserving of our coming together and worshiping Him in song. And this morning the question would be need to be asked as to how does God want us to worship Him in our song service. In all of this, I have laid out 4 points this morning as is defined in Scripture in regard to the focus that we must have as we come together and as we then participate as we worship God in song. First off, good people, we need to understand that our worship in song needs to be purposeful. We do not come together just merely to utter words or to have melody that we put together, but rather as we sing songs, first and foremost, we need to be singing songs that are going to be bringing glory and honor unto our God's name. In fact, in the book of John chapter 4 and verse 23, for the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. For those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The very focal point of our coming together is indeed to worship God, to make certain that in all things He is glorified. And good people, we need to understand that certainly God is deserving of being glorified in every avenue of life, but then also in relation to our song service. In fact, we learn of this in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. We have been created after the very image of God. After all that God has created, it is only mankind that God has created in His kind, according to His image. And in fact, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we have placed within us a soul that resides now and a soul that will indeed stand before God in judgment. But also, not only does God deserve to be glorified as we sing songs of praise to Him, because of the fact that we are created after His image, good people, God continues to bestow blessings upon us as we go in and throughout the course of life. In fact, in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17, all good blessings come forth from heaven above. We understand then, therefore, that all of these blessings are given from God. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, we learn that God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. God continues each and every day of our life to make certain that we have all of the essential things that we have or all the essential things that we need in and throughout the course of life. And for that reason, whenever we sing songs, we need to make certain that we are singing songs that will glorify His holy and righteous name. But then too, good people, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, identifies that we do not belong to ourselves. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. We are indeed individually as well as collectively, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, the temple of God. We belong to God. Why do we belong to God? Because we have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, good people, you and I need to understand the importance then of glorifying God as we come together and then as in our coming together as we sing songs of praise unto His name. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we understand that the Apostle Paul and Silas, whenever they were in prison there at Philippi, that these men sang songs. And in singing songs, they did not sing just merely for the sake of enjoyment or in comforting themselves, but rather the Bible tells us that they sing these songs of praise unto our God. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says that as we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart, we make this melody in our heart first and foremost to the Lord. Also in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we understand that as we are letting the words of Christ dwell in us richly, as we are communicating through songs, in these things, then, that God is the recipient of all that it is that we are uttering up in our song service. God, indeed, must be glorified as we are singing songs, but then in like figure, the Bible tells us that the saints must be edified. All things, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, are to be done unto edification. And good people, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he is speaking about the worship service. Therefore, whenever we come together and we sing songs of praise to God, they must be songs that indeed would edify, would build up the body of Christ. And certainly we understand that we are able to do this because we speak to one another. And in speaking to one another, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we learn that we are teaching and admonishing one another. We instruct one another concerning the words of God. Not only do we instruct concerning the words of God, good people, we challenge each other as we sing from the words of God. As we allow the words of Christ to dwell in us, as we are communicating the message of God through our song service, we are learning the direction that God wants us to go and challenging our lives then if we are or are not living in compliance to the will of God. And for that reason then, good people, our song service is edification as well as, in a sense, it is also a focal point of making certain that we are educated in our song service. In all things we understand, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that we are to do these things. And in doing these things, then, good people, that God is to be glorified and the saints are always to be edified. But also, we need to understand that as we sing songs of praise to God, that these things must be done in a scriptural manner. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The same terminology is used in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Good people, when we think in regard to psalms, psalms are songs, then therefore that would extol His name, power, and character. The word extol there means to be built up. We need to make certain that whenever we sing songs, that these songs are indeed songs that will lift up our God's name, but not only lift up the name of our God, but in like figure teach concerning His eternal power and the Godhead, and then in like figure the character of God. That as we are teaching, that we're teaching concerning everything concerning our God. And then in teaching these things concerning God, or singing these things that are teaching concerning God, that God is built up, that everyone understands that it is all about God. But also the Bible tells us that we are to sing hymns. Hymns are those songs that will offer thanksgiving and supplication unto God. Good people, we have everything in the world to be thankful for. Why? Because God has created us, as we have already said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, according to His image. In these things also we have everything to be thankful for. Why? Because God continues to supply for our needs. But then as New Testament Christians, certainly we understand the things that we had to be thankful for, and the fact that God has forgiven us of our sins against Him in and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we sing songs, as Greg has selected songs and leads us in our song service, or if anyone else stands before us and leads us in song service, we need to make certain that we are singing songs that are offering thanksgiving unto God, and then as we are singing these songs of thanksgiving and supplication, good people, that we are pouring our heart, soul, and mind into it. That we're not merely going through the motions as what we can be from time to time. We need to make certain that we're thinking about the lyrics that are presented before us to make certain that indeed the lyrics are scriptural. But not only that the lyrics are scriptural, but in like figure that we are not just going through the motions. Rather that we are truly desirous to be here. That in our desire to be here, then that we are truly giving our heart, soul, and mind to every thought and every word that we are putting forth out of our mouth. But also, good people, the Bible tells us that we are to sing spiritual songs. These are songs that will inspire and cultivate spiritual devotion. We get so much, I believe, out of our song service. In fact, sometimes the song service is so good that sometimes I would rather us just continue on in our song service because they bring cold chills down my spine, and just they're so uplifting to hear the congregation singing. Why? Because you love the Lord. Singing. Why? Because we know that God is pleased with the songs that we are singing. And we are inspired by the things that we are hearing, that we are learning, and by the participation of each member who is present in all of these things. Good people, this not only inspires us and motivates us today, these things help us then as we go out of this building and live our lives then here in a world who does not know God. We're learning things as we're here that will help us. And then in like figure, we are being built up, we are being inspired. And it's cultivating within each and every one of us a spiritual devotion, a devotion that says, yes, I learned this through the song, and yes, I have been motivated with not only my participation, but also with the mutual participation of each member who is here, and then as a result of these things, good people, we are able to live our lives closer to our God. Spiritual songs, but also the Bible says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. This tells us certainly that everything that we sing must be in harmony with the words of God. In this, we cannot stand in front of you and sing any country songs, any rock and roll songs. Why? Because number one, good people, they're not spiritual songs and they do not line up with, they are not in harmony with the Bible. We need to make certain then not only that we do not allow ourselves to participate in singing songs of the world, but then in like figure, songs of the denominations. And in that I mean songs that would teach concerning the rapture, songs that would teach concerning once saved, always saved, songs that would suggest that an individual can be saved by faith only. We need to make certain that as we are singing songs, that the songs that we are singing indeed are scriptural songs, that they are indeed in harmony with the Word of the Almighty God. Our song service must be scriptural. Why? Because according to what we find in the context of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. But people, what does it mean to do it in the name of Jesus? It means to do it by the authorization of Christ. And therefore, in our song service, we need to make certain that we are doing these things with the authorization of Christ. In other words, with a thus saith the Lord. Whenever we look into the first century church, the examples given in the first century church, we need to make certain that we are able to find those examples as well as to come up with New Testament commandments for the ways in which we offer our song service unto God. But also the Bible tells us concerning our song service, good people, is that it must be vocal. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is constantly presented in and throughout Scripture. Good people, in this we understand, speaking, and this is from laleo, and in this, in the Greek context, it means to have and to use the faculty of speech. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are to use the voice that God has given us as we then therefore participate in singing songs of praises unto His name. And the Bible also tells us singing. Singing is ado in the Greek, and this literally means to sing or to utter words of melodic pattern. And this, good people, we understand concerning singing is that this is vocal. It's not instrumental, but rather it is vocal that God requires, that God expects, and that God is going to be pleased with as we come together to worship and to praise Him. And the Bible tells us concerning the word melody there, it's from the Greek term silo, which literally means that we are to make melody in our heart to the Lord. Good people, in God's instructions for singing in the service, God only authorizes us to make certain that we sing in a vocal sense, that we speak to one another, that we sing to one another. And he does not allow us to have an instrument here. He does not want us to have a piano. Nor does he not only does he not want us to have a piano. In like figure, God does not authorize hand clapping or any other such thing that is not mentioned in the Scripture. In fact, God has supplied the instrument that we must use in the service. Note the context of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. That making melody from silo is to pluck, pull, or twang. And in the denominational world, and sadly in some of the liberal churches of Christ today, they're saying, see, you can pluck, you can pull, you can twang. And therefore, that's authorization for the music or for the instrument. Good people, that's not an authorization for anything. What it is it is a definition of what it is that God expects us to do as we are singing. In fact, He supplies the instrument, does He not? He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God has given each and every one of us a heart. God's given us a mind. God has given us a desire to worship Him. And as we sing, we need to make certain that we are pouring ourselves into our song service and that we're not merely going through the motion. I find it interesting that those who want to authorize in their own authorization, that is, or with their own authorization, instrumental music, is that they say, I ought to be able to stand to pick my guitar or my banjo or to play my trumpet or to play my piano. And good people, the interesting thing of it is not all of us have the talent to play a musical instrument, but yet at the same time, each and every one of us have the ability, the talent that God has given us commandments to do, and that is to sing and to make melody in our heart to Him. God has given us that instrument, and because of that, God then therefore expects us, requires each and every one of us to use that instrument to the glorification of His holy and righteous name. Our song service indeed must be vocal. But also, good people, we need to understand that our song service must be congregational. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, speaking to one another. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we're to teach and to admonish one another. In all of these things, the speaking to one another is used in the context of both of these passages, to one another. Well, what does that mean? Good people, from the Greek language, that terminology there is a reflexive plural. And somebody says, Kevin, what does that mean, a reflexive plural? It means that there is to be a reciprocal interchange, a mutual interchange on the behalf of all who are under consideration. And somebody says, well, Kevin, what does that mean? Allow me to illustrate. This morning, if I were to say to you, I kissed Dawn, you would conclude that I kissed her and that she had nothing at all to do with that, correct? You might, though, say, well, maybe she had something to do with that, but yet at the same time, the language that you're using, Kevin, suggests that she didn't have anything at all to do with that kiss, but rather that it was just you who kissed her. However, if I were to say, Dawn and I kissed one another, you would conclude, and rightfully so, that not only was I doing the kissing, Dawn was involved. It was a mutual exchange between us. The same terminology, good people, is used here in regard to speaking to one another. It is a mutual participation on the behalf of all who are in the congregation, exclusive of no one, inclusive of everyone who is here present in the body or in the assembly for our worshiping and praising our God. Good people, as a result of this, this excludes soloists. God does not want us to stand up and to show our individual talents. This also excludes choirs. Why? Because God wants everyone, each one, every single New Testament Christian involved in singing songs of praise unto His holy and righteous name. And also something that's come about in the last few centuries, or excuse me, the past few decades, is praise teams, where they will have individuals in and throughout the congregation who are on their teams, singing bass, singing alto, singing soprano, and they will be able to mic these individuals. And good people, there's no authorization at all for any praise teams. As a collective body, we are the praise team who is to praise and to glorify our God. Those who would do things exterior to the congregational efforts on singing, the Bible tells us that they may draw near to God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Why is their heart far from Him, good people? Because they teach for themselves as commandments doctrines of mankind. And the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that as we worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we sing songs of praise to God, let's make certain that we do these things, realizing that they are to be purposeful. Our purpose and the meaning for our song service is to glorify God and to edify the saints. In these things, in like figure, good people, we need to make certain that we are scriptural in our song service. That the songs that we sing, that certainly they comply with the words of Christ, with the Word of God, and that as we do these things, that we are focusing and doing them in the right direction towards God, to extol His name and to edify the body of Christ. Let us make certain that as we sing, that we are singing, and that we only are doing these things in an a cappella, with a cappella music, not with an instrument, not with hand clapping, but then too, to make certain that as we are singing songs, that we are doing it from a congregational standpoint. Each member of the body of Christ participating as what God commands us. Today we want to ask that question, have you obeyed Christ in baptism? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Do you realize that sin has separated you from God, and in that separation from God, not only are you separated today, but unless you have those sins forgiven, you will stand separated from God in the day of judgment and separated from Him throughout all eternity. God does not want that at all. In fact, God has made provisions for mankind to be forgiven of sin, and in the forgiveness of sin, then for man to spend eternity in heaven with Him. The only means of salvation, according to what we find in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, is in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the authorization of Christ, what is it then that God commands one to do? He commands man to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, and to surrender or submit themselves to be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of sin.